Lord Jesus, it's Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. On this series, we're talking about the curses and the blessings. Let's come to the Father in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the wonderful things you put in this book, the owner's manual. You've told us how to live. You've told us what to do, what not to do, the consequences of sin, and the blessings if we'll obey. Father, reveal to us today the truth of what you want us to do so we can walk in the blessings as your children. And I thank you for the privilege to learn and know your word and to tell it to others. Thank you, Father, and bless the word as it goes out. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now then, as we talk about this series on the curses and the blessings, I've learned why so many people are sick and why so many people are not sick. And in the process of talking about the curses and the blessing, I want to go over Proverbs 26:2 one more time that says that there is a cause for every curse. There's no such thing as accidents. Absolutely no such thing. People say, well, he's just an accident looking for a place to happen. No, that's not true. That person's living under a curse. The person that does not have these problems is walking in obedience to the Word of God, and they're living under the blessings. So a curse, causeless, does not come to rest. And that's written in Proverbs 26:2. It says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. So that means exactly what it says. And as I have said before, curses are regulated by spiritual law. Now, what is spiritual law? That's the Word of God. That's God's law. So curses are regulated by the Word of God or spiritual law. God's law. Now, you cannot accidentally stumble into a curse. There's just no way you can accidentally stumble into one. There's no way you can stumble into a blessing either. It is God who decides whether you are cursed or blessed. And the decision is based upon your obedience to keep His commandments or to not keep His commandments. So when you break His commandments, you're under a curse. When you keep His commandments, you're under the blessing. But it's really quite simple. When you learn these principles, it will cause you to straighten up your act because you cannot get by with anything in life. Good or bad, everything's recorded. He says we shall be accountable for every idle word that we speak. Not just every word, but every idle word. He has them all recorded. Now then, if you will not hear the commandments of God, if you really want to know what the curses are, all you have to do is go to the Word of God, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you want to read the blessings, you can go to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, and he will tell you in great detail what kind of blessings will come upon you if you will be obedient to hear and hearken to and do all of his commandments and statutes. If you will do them, he tells you what will happen to you. But then he says in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, but he says, if you will not hear and obey the Lord your God to do all these laws that are given to you today, then all these curses will come upon you. If you can read verses 15 through about verse 65 or 70, if you can read them all the way through in one sitting without becoming depressed, you're a better person than I am. Those verses from Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting with verse 15, tells you everything that will happen to an individual if they will not obey the Word of God. Now, there is everything imaginable listed in those scriptures right there. I mean to tell you, there is everything imaginable listed. When you see those, you will thank goodness. If those things are going to come upon me, I guess it's time for me to straighten my act up. Well, it is totally up to you. It's totally up to you to live under the blessings or under the curses. Think about that and begin to do what the Lord said and be blessed. If you and I will just do what He says in His Word. When He says, under the new covenant, he tells us just to love. Walk in love. He said, if we love our neighbors and ourselves, we will break none of the commandments. All of the law and the prophets are fulfilled in this one statement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Which means you have to love God, you have to love yourself, and you have to love your neighbor. Now that if you walk in love, love does no damage to anyone. And that is the attributes that you and I are supposed to carry, and that's God's love. Now then, God said he would visit the iniquity or the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. And he said that in one of the places he said it in Exodus 34:7. So a lot of people I hear say, well, it's my life. I'll do with it what I want to. I'm not hurting anyone else. But that's not true. What you're doing, you are hurting someone else. You think about a man and a woman that goes out and young or old, it makes no difference. A man and a woman that goes out and thinks they're only satisfying their own lustful desires when they have a sexual relationship out of wedlock. And then, let's say, for instance, the woman gets pregnant. And that happens far too often in America. And then far too often, they decide to abort the child. Well, if it was their body, even if they were not a Christian, their body either belonged to the devil or it belongs to God. If you're a Christian, it belongs to God. If you're not a Christian, it belongs to the devil. So if you go out and you get involved in a sexual relationship outside of wedlock and the woman gets pregnant and then she kills that baby, she did destroy a little life that could have been used for the glory of God. So the sins of the fathers are definitely passed down to the children, but not only to the first generation. The Lord says three and four generations into the future. So things that you do, and a lot of things that people have never noticed a trend, that whenever you take a child that's born out of wedlock, almost every time that child will have children out of wedlock. And then those children will go that same path. And that path will continue in life almost indefinitely until somebody somewhere, a grandmother or grandfather or something somewhere on some side begins to learn these principles and begins to pray over those children, begins to break the power of the devil over those children's lives and begin to ask the Father in Jesus' name to send the Holy Spirit into those children to begin to convict them of sin and draw them into the kingdom of God and save them. Until that happens, that family line will continue and continue and continue right on into that same way of life. So it's amazing how that the sins of the fathers are passed down to the children. Many generations, but at least three and four. Now God clearly said that he would do that. In fact, in Ezekiel, the children of Israel, they learned these principles. Because in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 2, I read this one day, and I didn't quite understand this for a while. But then I began to understand what he was talking about. He says, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth have been set on edge. In other words, they were beginning to understand that they have eaten the sour grapes, or they have sinned. And by their sinning, it has caused the children to sin or do the same things. So that is a statement that they used there. They knew that when you eat sour grapes, it really sets your teeth on edge. But they made that statement that they had eaten the sour grapes, but it set their children's teeth on edge. But it says they saw these things, and they saw them being passed on to their children, so they wrote these verses. Now then, when you wrestle with shadows in life, life is like this. If you do not understand the Word of God, and even most Christians are like I was most of my life, I hadn't read the Word of God in detail enough to understand these things. So it's like, you know, we were wrestling with shadows or something. I didn't have any idea what was going on. But this is the reason the devil does not want you to read and understand the Word of God. Because when you begin to read and understand this book, you begin to understand how you give him legal right to you and to your children. And when you get a hold of that, I mean, any normal human being, when he realizes his sins are going to be passed to his children, 2, 3, and 4 generations, maybe even more. And the Word of God even says if you bring a child into the world out of wedlock, that this sin will be passed to the children 10 generations. If they don't come to know Christ somewhere along the line, somebody don't pray them into the kingdom, then that curse will continue to follow all of those children for at least 10 generations. And that's a long ways into the future. So, you know, the thing about it is, don't break God's rules, His spiritual law. Don't break it. Be obedient to it. Read it and study it and then keep it. And when you do, He promises to bless you and not curse you. And let me tell you, everybody wants to live under the blessings. Everybody. But you can't unless you're obedient to the Word of God. Now then, human life presents a confused mingling of light and shadows, arranged according to no set pattern, governed by no discernible laws, it appears. We do not understand these things. In other words, I can remember when I was a young man at home. There was two men that lived from where we lived out in the country to town. They both had about 200 acres of land. They both went to high school at the same time. They both graduated. They both even went off to college together. And they both came back and they got married and started their families and everything. And I could never understand why one of these families always appeared that everything he did worked out right. He had better crops. He had better fences around his place. He drove a better automobile. He kept his home in better repair. Him and his wife and his children were hardly ever sick. There was just virtually very few problems. But the other guy, I mean, he was the kind of guy that people would say, well, this guy's born with a silver spoon in his mouth and this guy's born under a black cloud. Well, I didn't understand that. But I understood what people said because I could see in the tangible world what was happening. One of the men did have problems all the time. He was sick. His family was sick. His wife was sick. His children were sick. His place was run down. His tractors broke more often. His cars broke down. He drove older, broke down cars, and his fences wasn't as well maintained. Nothing was as maintained as well. It's like I didn't understand. I thought, why? Well, there was an old gentleman that I worked for back in those days because I was just a young 17, 18-year-old young man. I asked this older gentleman. I mean, back in those days, whenever a man was 55 or 60 years old, I thought he was really, really old. You know, of course, when you get many years past that yourself, you know, well, 55 or 60, that's not old at all.
We have to stop right there today, but if you'd like the teachings in its entirety, call us at 940-242-2106 or go to the web, www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these teachings in their entirety, free and postpaid. Remember, Jesus is Lord.